The reading that follows is an entire chapter in Volume 1 of Arise, Shine, Be Encouraged. Each devotional is followed by the next one. This sound marks that change. You can download this chapter as a whole unit and listen as you exercise or walk or drive. Chapter 2, Marriage and Family Are God's Building Blocks. In Genesis 1, we hear, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image, in the image of God he created him, male and female. He created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. The man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. For this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother, and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28, 2, verse 18, 23 and 24. And from Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22, and chapter 31, verses 10 to 12, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing, and obtains favor from the Lord. An excellent wife who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life." Chapter 2, Devotional 1. Get up and leave God, marriage, family, and work. When the wise men had left, Joseph had a dream. In the dream, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. "Get up," the angel said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you to come back. Herod is going to search for the child. He wants to kill him." Joseph got up during the night. He left for Egypt with the child and his mother Mary. From Matthew 2, verses 13 and 14. Every parent knows the demands of middle-of-the-night feedings and diaper changes for newborns. As I read this passage about Joseph's actions to protect baby Jesus from Herod, I am encouraged and convicted at the same time. In this passage, we see that Joseph's love for God and Jesus went far beyond temporary discomfort and loss of sleep. Without hesitation or debate, he gave up everything for Jesus. He left his village, friends, and neighbors, business, home, and possessions. He left it all to protect Jesus. Living in Houston, Karen and I see families every day that have made the same level of sacrifice. We live in a section of the city that is home to a large population of immigrants from several Latin countries. Driving 10 minutes from our house, we enter a different world and are surrounded by the artistry, customs, products, and foods of India, China, and the Far East. As I pass these neighborhoods, I often wonder how many of these parents came to Houston with a Joseph heart to save their children from the ravages of war, starvation, and poverty, to give them a new life. As a Christian, I am encouraged by their hunger and thirst for life and their willingness to get up and leave in the middle of the night. Has the Lord sent his angels to talk to you lately? Is he telling you to get up and leave the old and familiar neighborhoods, dysfunctional relationships, addictive behaviors and habits, meaningless jobs, dying churches, and move to a new place? Does God have a fresh start waiting for you, but you have been afraid or unwilling to take the first step? I encourage you to be like Joseph. Get up in the middle of the night and leave your past behind. Trust God as he leads you into a new life and new beginnings. Lord, thank you for this powerful example of the importance of trusting and obeying your voice. Show me all the areas of my life that I need to leave behind. Give me the courage to get up in the middle of the night and follow you. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. Chapter 2, Devotional 2. A Good Wife. The Importance of Marriage and Family. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. From Proverbs 31, verses 28 and 29. Every manager and supervisor knows that a good family life supports a good work life. We all know from experience that when our employees are having trouble at home with marital issues, health concerns, financial challenges, issues with children, letters or phone calls from school, that these difficulties will spill over and impact their attitudes and work performance. Suddenly, a loyal and dependable employee misses deadlines, shows up late or leaves early, is distracted, irritable, and causing problems with coworkers. How is your home life? Do you go to work refreshed and excited, or tired and worn out from sleepless nights of worry and stress? For 5 years, I went down front during the altar call for relationships and marriage. And after years of heartache from a painful divorce, I found myself asking God to bring me a wife. The Holy Spirit filled my mouth with these words, "Lord, bring the woman into my life that you want for me. I picked the last time, Lord, and it did not go well. I need your help, Lord." I remember the day Karen and I met. 5 days after our first date, I knew she was the one the Lord had picked for me. I give thanks and praise to God every morning for my wife. No, she is not perfect, but she is perfect for me. Yes, we are different, but we work hard to celebrate our differences. She is my godsend. She is truly a remarkable woman of God. Every time I read Proverbs 31, tears run down my face, and I say, "Lord, thank you for my sweetheart, my wife. I am richly blessed." Are you single and looking? Are you ready for marriage ordained by God? If so, ask yourself, is my picker broken? Do I always pick the wrong person for the wrong reasons? Maybe it's time you asked the Lord to pick for you. Lord, thank you for ordering my steps and for bringing my sweetheart, my wife, into my life. Help me love her, cherish her, and praise her all the days of my life. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Chapter 2, Devotional 3, A Perfect Sanctuary, Peace in Our House. One thing I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. Psalm 27, verse 4. It was a common practice during biblical times to give names to places where significant events occurred. In today's world, we create names and nicknames for our friends, loved ones, cars, and pets. Karen and I decided early on to name our home. We asked the Lord to help us create a home filled with his presence and adorned with his love and compassion. We wanted a home where our love for the Lord could be seen and felt by family and guests as they walked through the door. We desired a place of peace and rest with good food and laughter where all are welcome. After prayer and discussion, we were led by the Holy Spirit to call our home a perfect sanctuary. Next, we allowed the Lord to direct us as we examined our furnishings, art, and accessories to determine what stayed and what had to go. Karen has her spot where she sits, listens to messages on her phone, and spends time in her favorite Bible. I have my own place for morning Bible study, but my special place is our prayer garden in the backyard. I go there to spend time in God's presence in the pre-dawn hours, while the world is asleep, quiet, and motionless. I marvel at the array of colors radiating from our flowers, fruit trees, and potted plants. I am filled with joy as I look up at the early morning sun as it bursts through the dark night. Often, guests will make the comment, "Your home is so beautiful and peaceful. I never want to leave whenever I come here." What name would you give your home? Invite the Lord to help you create an environment that is pleasing to him and to give you the name that reflects his glory. Pray and invite God to bless your home and fill it with his love, light, joy, and peace. Dedicate your house to the Lord and, like David, declare, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." Lord, thank you for our home and for the amazing life that unfolds within these walls. Fill our home with your love, mercy, and grace. Bless our home so that it may serve as a place of rest and peace to all who enter. I give you all the glory and praise for a life filled with your presence. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Chapter 2, Devotional 4, God is my witness, the power of testimony and agreement. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two men is valid. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me. John 8, verses 17 and 18. According to Webster's Dictionary, the word witness means to see, hear, or know by personal experience and perception, to be present at an occurrence as a formal witness, to bear witness to, testify to, give or afford evidence of, to attest by one's signature. A witness is a person who gives personal testimony, declares agreement, or validates another person's account of facts, details, or situations. The world has adopted an expression for the meaning of this passage of Scripture. We say, God is my witness. In effect, the person is declaring, I am telling you the truth. Here Jesus tells the Pharisees that he tells the truth and that God is his witness. I have noticed that many Christians are reluctant when it comes to sharing their personal testimony. They're self-conscious, anxious, or embarrassed about opening up on the areas of brokenness and putting the intimate and often messy details of their life on public display. In contrast, I openly confess all of the broken parts of my life. I share my journey and tell people all the time that I spent 4 decades as the prodigal son, living a life of pride and rebellion, selfishness and self-effort, sinful disobedience, and separation from God. My time in the world into extreme periods of dizzy success, heartache and loss, brokenness and pain. By God's mercy and grace, I am in a different place now. But it is not because of my efforts. Like Jesus, I have a testimony to share about God's love and the impact of His amazing and life-changing grace. There was a time when my life was filled with intense loss, depression, and despair. Now, I have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, an awesome, loving, Spirit-led wife that I cherish, a revitalized and Christ-centered professional life, a calling on my life to encourage others, and more joy and peace than I have ever known. Yes, all I have said is true, and God is my witness. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be a daily witness for you. Help me be a source of truth and a beacon of light in a dark world. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. Chapter 2, Devotion 5. Adam's first sin was a failure to lead. Crisis of leadership. He said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. And he said, Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? The man said, The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree, and I ate. Genesis 3, verses 10 and 12. Every leader, manager, supervisor, or team lead that I've ever worked with can recount the times that they witnessed scenes similar to the one in the garden. They walked into the executive suite, conference room, production area, or break room, and immediately knew that in their absence something had changed. Can you imagine the scene in the Garden of Eden? Something profound happened. Adam and Eve's sinful behavior produced a fundamental shift in the relationship between God and man. Disobedience and sin came into the world. In shame, guilt, and fear, Adam attempted to hide from God. As I read this chapter, I'm struck by Adam's overwhelming crisis of leadership and immense failure. I wonder, 1. Where was he when Eve was talking to the serpent? 2. Did he know what was going on and simply failed to act? 3. If he knew and ignored it, what was he doing that could have been more important than Eve talking to Satan and falling for his lies? 4. How could he be unaware of her dissatisfaction with their life and her questions about God's love for them? 5. Where was he when she picked the apple and began to eat? 6. Did he fail to relay God's specific instructions about life in the garden? 7. Was he standing by, watching passively, and wondering where all this might lead? 8. Why did he choose to ignore God's instructions and join Eve's rebellion willfully and blatantly defying God? 9. Why was he so afraid to face a loving God and give him the bad news? 10. Why did he blame Eve and subsequently God instead of accepting responsibility and owning the problem? As a leader and husband, Adam failed multiple times in the garden with catastrophic consequences for mankind. As sons of God, leaders and husbands, spiritual head of our family, we must not replicate Adam's failures. I encourage you to ask God to show you where you need to grow and develop as a godly leader and husband. There is more at stake than you can ever imagine. Lord, thank you for opportunities to lead others according to your word. Teach me to willingly obey you and lead like Jesus. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. Chapter 2, Devotional 6. God made wives to be coaches and mentors, a perfect helper. Now the Lord God said, "It is not good, sufficient or satisfactory, that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper, meet, suitable and adapted or complementary for him." Genesis 2, verse 18. For a time in the world of work, every young apprentice was assigned to work under a master craftsman. Apprenticeship lasted years and only ended when the master decided the apprentice was ready and no longer needed such close supervision or instruction, and was ready to stand on his own two feet. Times have changed. Now new hires start one day and are thrown into the deep end of the pool and expected to learn how to swim on their own under the sink or swim principle. Truth remains that we all need instruction and guidance, help and assistance from others who are more experienced, skilled, and knowledgeable. We hear, "Behind every good man is a good woman." As our Creator, God knew our limitations and created a helper, advisor, and coach for us. Arts or business did not invent coaching and mentoring. God did. God established the first coaching program. He created wives especially for this role. They are our perfect helpmate. They see things we do not. In fact, they see what we see differently, and they behave differently. Women express love and compassion, are nurturing and supportive. In contrast, men often express fear, aggression, and hostility, and are commanding and controlling. Men, we must rely on our wives to advise us and teach us how to interact and communicate, especially when we would prefer to withdraw and retreat into our cave. On a daily basis, I thank God for my wife. She is an amazing woman of God. God has blessed her with great wisdom and discernment. She has gifts, talents, and abilities that I do not. She compliments me, and as a team, a couple, a family, we are stronger. I seldom make a decision without her counsel. I am a better human being, man, husband, friend, executive coach, and ministry leader because of her. Child of God, turn to your wife and invite her to speak to you. When she does, listen. Like me, you may not always like what you hear, but trust God. You need to hear it. Lord, thank you for my wife, your precious gift, designed and created especially for me. Teach me to listen to her counsel. Give me an understanding mind and a hearing heart. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.